You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
He is the great I am. His first friend was Abraham. Surely said to Abraham, I am that I am.
I am.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hello, Mike Bagby.
What a great song, Rhett. That's it's a good song you wrote there, and it's a great way to intro Hallelujah, because if we don't speak God's words in these next moments, we are wasting our time.
And wasting other people's time. What does Hallelujah mean? Do you happen to know?
Halal is the word translated praise. And Yahweh is the end of that. Hallel-Yahweh something. Halal means to act clamorously foolish. It means to jump up and down and act really excited. It's what you do at a football game when your team scores. Which sort of changes the way we think about worshiping God, because God wants us to get excited. And even there's a connotation of almost of boasting in the Lord, as David does. I will boast in the Lord. I'll almost trash talk, you know, like Larry Bird used to tell Michael Jordan, I'm going to go down to this side. The ball's going to be passed to me. I'm going to drive on you, lay it in with my left hand on the right side, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's exactly what he would do.
Yeah, he was some sort of genius. Well, listen, let's get on with our show.
He was a trash talker, and that word halal has a connotation of acting clamorously foolish and boasting in the Lord. So,
well, we'll have to talk more about this, because later in life now, I prefer to have nice, quiet, sincere, sacred worship. So I guess there's a place for both. Listen, folks, if you see the logo up on the screen between the two of us, it's called Cup of Friendship. That is the name of the show. It is also a coffee that we make available. You can support us by buying that. If you look under my name, well, it did say, oh, no, above my name, below my picture, you'll see www.cupoffriendship.com. Go there, check us out, support us. But now we're talking about the Beatitudes, and we're back at Matthew. In the book of Matthew, we're chapter 6, and I'm going to read 19.
Wait just a moment. Just a moment. Let's just let everybody catch up that weren't here for our last couple of episodes. We are on the Mount of Beatitudes today, on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus gave his one of his most famous teachings. It's the first one that Matthew records. There are Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes in the audience. There are Herodians, government people, supporters of Herod. There's Romans, there's Greeks, there's prostitutes, there's tax collectors, there's fishermen, there's passing merchants that are coming up from the coast going to Damascus that are passing through this area. Jesus has an incredible audience, and he's in a spot where there's a lot of basaltic rock that have great sound attenuation qualities. And researchers with microphones placed around this hillside have shown that a person standing at the bottom of the hill can be heard 600 yards at the top. It's an incredible space to give Jesus' most famous teaching. So, Rhett, let's imagine we're in the crowd, and what are we hearing when Jesus says, as we understand the cultural context of these
we're
words?
Here. Do not lay up for yourselves.
No. So Jesus starts off with the Beatitudes, which for many years we have read those individually and tried to understand, and they come across, at least they have to me, as virtues that are sort of a high bar that I can never jump over. But one of my great sources of understanding Greek grammar is Spyros Zodiotis, the author of the Keywords of the Bible. Spyro is a Greek guy that wrote over 200 books, half of them in the Greek language. He says that we have to read these Beatitudes in a progressive sense, with one building on the other. And as we do that, it actually changes the way they come across and actually describes our process of becoming a follower of Jesus. The blessed are the poor in spirit, are those who are desperately in need of God because they're out of resources. Blessed are those who mourn. They're mourning the effects of sin in their life. And blessed are the gentle. That word is prates. Aristotle says prates is the mean point between a person that's gets angry at the drop of a hat or never gets angry. And in this context, it means getting angry at the sin. And because of those three things, now we're hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. And as we look around, we recognize everybody else is in the same boat that we are, so we're not judgmental. We become merciful. And as this is happening, there's a process going on inside us that's purifying our heart. And as a result, we have peace with God, and we very naturally, with no compulsion, we are trying to bring that peace to the people around us. So the next thing that Jesus addresses is what we are to do with the people around us. And he says, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And in biblical culture, we see salt as relationships. God makes salt covenants in the Hebrew Scriptures. They last forever. So what Jesus is saying is we're to be known as loyal and faithful, unoffendable friends that are doing random acts of kindness and serving the people around us. And imagine, Rhett, if the body of Christ was actually doing that on a regular basis. Then Jesus turns to how we are to understand the Hebrew Scriptures. He says, don't think I came to abolish them. I came to fulfill them. That word is the word pleroo, which means, in this context, to explain more fully. And in fact, that's what he does in the next five sections. He says, you've heard it said, you should not commit adultery, but I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You've heard it say that you shouldn't murder, but I say, if you murder with your words, it's just the same. So Jesus is helping us explain and understand, and the word pleroo is what a physician in the first century would use to describe putting the bone that was just broken in your arm back in its place so it could be healed, okay? So we talked about these things in depth in our first session on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you're interested, please take a look at that. And then the next thing that Jesus goes into is that we should become mature, that we should actually he ends this statement by saying, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that word is teleos, which literally means mature in one's behavior in this context. Jesus is calling us to be full grown in our mind and understanding and being mature. And so the next thing in chapter 6, we're told how to communicate with our Heavenly Father, and now Jesus is going through the Lord's Prayer, and he's really emphasizing the Father-Son relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He's talking about when we give to the poor and emphasizing that we should be giving to the poor, and the whole idea of asking for forgiveness and giving forgiveness is an important aspect of our relationship with Jesus. So now we come to verse 19 of chapter 6. Rhett, would you like to read that, please?
Sure. This is Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay, this is a time to kind of ask ourselves the question, what do we think about when we have idle time, when we're like sitting in traffic, when I was driving over to the studio this morning, when we're waiting in an office, when we're at the beach, when we're on, what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about our job, our wealth, our last vacation, or maybe the next vacation? Are we thinking perhaps about our lover or maybe our disappointments? Because where our thoughts originate from is the heart. It's from inside. And that really indicates where and what our source of satisfaction is. And then he goes on to in verse 22, the eye of the lamp, eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So both you and I are wearing these things called glasses. And literally what Jesus is saying is the eye, our glasses, or this what how we view things coming in is going to determine how we evaluate them.
And now, how about this where he says, if the light in you be dark? Well, now, I have another take on that from an experiential thing. What do you think that means, if the light in you be dark? How can light be dark?
Well, what the Greek is actually saying here, first of all, that word clear is the word hapalus. It's the use of the eye not seeing double as when it's diseased, okay? So it's when the eye is seeing things as they are, single, healthy, and perfect. But the word bad, if your eye is bad, is the word poneros, and it's viewing things through evil thoughts. Your eye is, your attitude is different than seeing things clearly as they are. It's you have a tendency to think in terms of self-centeredness and what's best for you. These are evil thoughts. So Jesus says how you view the events around you is going to determine how you actually evaluate them and act them out. And then he goes on to say, this is regarding our wealth and regarding money. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And that word serve is the word doulio. It's being like a servant and a slave, being subject, subjugation, involuntary service. And here's the reality, Rhett, that wealth is a good thing that comes from God, but sometimes the pursuit of wealth controls us and it literally enslaves us. And yeah. We, in our community here in Vero Beach, Florida, we have not only the one of the most wealthiest communities in the United States, but we also have one of the most poverty-stricken communities in the state of Florida, all in the same county. Okay, yeah. So we see a contrast between those that have and those that have and those who don't have. So I've met a lot of people who their focus is more. They're accumulating possessions, they're accumulating wealth, and that seems to be their goal in life. And the question is, how much is enough?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Joy.